I got the old time religion in my heart. Some of y'all need to get some of that. What I'm talking about, you got too much Methodist in you.
I'm glad Jesus came, glory to his name. Oh, what a friend. Bonds of sin set free.
I've got that
pure love in my heart. It is now without inside. I've got that new love in my heart, where true joy will e'er abide.
Nobody knows what it means to me. Nobody knows but my Lord.
I've got that good love in my heart. It is now way down inside. What a joy to know you love me so. He is so kind and true. He has changed my life from all sin and strife. He'll do the same for you. I've got that good love in my heart. It is now way down inside. Sinner, won't you now mind me back? Just let the Lord come in. You'll find perfect peace. Joy will never cease. You shall arrive. I'm gone back.
If you'll go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning, and because I'm going to do my best to be as brief as I can, and Brother Cleo, he's going to come and he's going to do Luke chapter 10, and Luke chapter 10, and he's going to read verses 25 through 37.
Good morning, beloved. It's nice to know our pastor still has to stumble through my name. I feel the love. So Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus, answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
All right, we're going
to head to the Lord in prayer. And I know this is a familiar portion of Scripture, but as I was studying this and looking over this, the Lord gave me something from here that I want to bring before us today. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for, Lord, the time away, but Lord, I mostly thank you for allowing us to be back here, Lord, amongst our church people. And Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand behind this podium, and Father, to stand before your people, and Lord, to be able to teach. And Father, I just pray now, Lord, that you'd be with us. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody among us that's not saved, Father, I pray that you would speak to their heart today, Lord, that they would accept you as their personal Savior. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would be with the needs that are represented here this morning in your house. Father, I just pray that you would meet each one of those needs. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are carrying a heavy load. Father, I pray that you would be with those who are burdened about a loved one. And Lord, I just pray that the needs would be met today. And Lord, I pray that those that couldn't be with us today because of physical problems, Lord, I just pray that you would just guide them and direct them. And Father, I pray that you'd heal them. And Lord, I want to pray for our shut-ins this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with them in their lives and have your will in your way. And Father, we'll love and thank you for all that you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was reading through this and thinking about things, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking to a young lawyer fella, and again, as I've shared with you before, the whole context of the Scripture here, this is kind of a smart aleck young man who was asking directions of God, or asking directions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. His purpose for the question that he asked was to look for an area that he could accuse, or the Lord Jesus Christ could be accused of. And again, what I'm getting at here is his motives were not good. His question was wrong because he asked the wrong questions. He wasn't really wanting to ask the right question. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so he really wasn't looking for the answer, because as the Scripture tells us, when the Lord Jesus Christ began to talk to him and ask him what the law read, he knew how to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew how that what he needed to do, but he didn't want to do it. And so again, that just kind of sets the tone here. But as I was reading through this, and as I was looking at it, also what we can see here is the Lord Jesus Christ giving direction. You see, this young man, what he was looking for is he was looking for directions. The Lord Jesus Christ used an illustration here, and in order to help him understand and give him some directions. And I kind of, with that thought in mind, would kind of like to show you some things here this morning, and concentrating on. And the message is entitled "Traveling Down the Wrong Highway." In life, if we're not careful, if we're not walking close to the Lord, if we're not in our Bibles, and if we're not praying, and if we're not seeking God's leadership and letting Him direct us, there can be a lot of gray areas in life. And gray areas are caused by people, just like this young lawyer, that really was not looking for the right answer. And he was being more facetious, I guess you could say, than anything. And
And so what happens is when we get that way in our life, we begin to get a lot of gray areas. You know, is it right or is it wrong? And my dad always used to tell me as a child, if you've got to ask yourself, is it right or wrong, most likely it's wrong, and err on the side of caution and don't do it. Now as a young man, I'd like to say I really paid close attention to that advice. But as I got older, I began to realize, that's good. That's really some good advice and some good direction. But as we see here, we see a man who headed down the wrong road. The purpose here this morning, the man, the certain man that it talks about in verse number 30, we can kind of look at him as a type of Christian that is heading down the wrong highway. And you say, well, where do you get that from? Now let me show you that. It's really interesting. And the Lord just made these words pop out on the page to me as I was reading it. And verse number 30, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered, saying," and now he's given this this young lawyer, he's giving him an example to help him realize the direction that he needs to be going. So this is all about direction. And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man," now here's the key words, "went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now, what's really interesting, I want to show you some things here. I want to show you the direction of this certain man. You see, Jerusalem was the place of worship. Jerusalem was the place that they went and they served God. And the Bible says here that he went down. And when the Bible generally refers to going down, like many times when he talked about Abraham, went down into Egypt, what that's indicating is that's someplace he shouldn't be going. He should be going the other direction. And so what this young man was doing, the Bible says, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now let's think about Jericho here for a minute. We go all the way back to the book of Joshua, and we think about when God sent the children of Israel into the promised land, and their first battle was at the Battle of Jericho. Was it the Battle of Jericho? And what did he tell them about the Battle of Jericho? He said everything that was within the city of the battle of Jericho was to be given over to the Lord, and it was to be burnt. Nothing was to be taken. Nothing was to be saved. Nobody was to be saved, with the exception of Rahab, the harlot, and her family, because of what she did for the spies. But everything else was to be burnt, was to be destroyed, was to be killed and wiped away. And you say, well, God, he's a God of mercy. Why would he do something like that? Well, you see, what that's showing us is how God feels about sin. In a Christian's life, there really shouldn't be room for sin. God wants it out. God wants it stomped down and completely destroyed and out of your life. Because whenever there's sin in your life, folks, there's always division. And those gray areas we were talking about? That's where all these gray areas come up when we have sin that we're hanging on to in our lives. But what had happened at Jericho, remember? Achan? He took a look at some garments, and he took a look at some gold and some silver, and he took them and he hid them and buried them in his tent. Well, Jericho was a cursed city. And now as we go back to the scripture here in the book of Luke, this certain man, this guy, the example that the Lord Jesus Christ is using here, this man was traveling from Jerusalem, the place of worship, down to Jericho, a cursed city. I would say here that this man was headed down and traveling down the wrong road. He was traveling someplace that he shouldn't have been traveling. And you know, a lot of times in our life, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know where we run into our problem as Christians? Is traveling down the wrong road. We're going the wrong. You say, well, how do I know that I'm going the wrong direction? How do I know that the road that I'm on is not the right road and I'm going the wrong direction? Well, let me ask you this. Where is it leading you to? If you're heading down a road in your life that's leading you away from church, you know what I can tell you? You're going down the wrong road. If you're going down a road that is causing you to have less time with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're heading down the wrong road. If you're heading down a road that takes you away from the things of God, you're heading down the wrong road. You say, well, you know, what I'm doing is not harmless. You know, I was talking to somebody about this here not too long ago. You know, a few years back, sports in our churches became very, very disproportionate and out of place. And there are a lot of good Christian people were laying out of church and going to sports. Now, again, it was quote unquote, I'm going here and I'm going to minister to the lost people here. And I'm going to tell these lost people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I agree. Maybe some people had good intentions, but you know what it was? It was putting something else in the place of God. And folks, that was heading down the wrong road. And what we're seeing today in our churches, we are seeing the fruit of heading down wrong roads. But this young man, this certain man that the Bible talks about, he was traveling down the road that lost people travel down. He was traveling down a road where lost people were. And he was traveling from Jerusalem, from the city of God to Jericho, the cursed land. And what's really interesting, you say, well, why would we kind of put this guy and think of him as a type of Christian? Well, because the Bible tells us here, it says that the certain man, he went down from Jerusalem, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. You know, he wasn't dead. He's only half dead. He probably, as he was laying there, probably wished he was dead. Probably called upon the Lord and begged that the Lord would go ahead and take him. But nevertheless, he was half dead. This man, I believe, as we look at the scriptures, this man knew he knew better than to travel down this road. Because this road was carrying him away from God. You know, folks, a lot of times we like to kind of look at things and say, well, I didn't know that this direction I was heading was going to lead me here. Well, again, if it's leading you from God, if it's costing you time with God, if it's costing you your relationship with God, I don't care what it is. You're heading down a wrong road. You're heading down a road that is going to lead you into the hands of thieves. You know, in the road the wrong road. You know, that's the road where the thieves are. And you know, this man, first of all, as the Bible tells us, it left him there half dead. And so we can kind of assume from there that he was a believer, and he was a man that he shouldn't have been on that road. He was a type of Christian, and he was traveling, and what he was doing was carrying him away from God, and the people in this area know the place that they should not be after dark. You know, there's a lot of advertisement now over in Cincinnati about over the Rhine area and how wonderful and how great and how, you know, safe it is, and how there's just a lot of fun things going on there. And folks, it's one bar after the other. It's one nightclub after the other. And anybody with a half a brain and sensible knows that that's the place you shouldn't be after dark, no alone not spending much time there during the day. It's not a good place. And if you head down in that area and you head down where those things are, you know what's going to wind up happening? You're going to wind up getting robbed. You're gonna wind up getting shot. Now you say, well, now wait a minute. You know, I'm not down there to drink. I'm not down there to dance. I'm not down there to participate in what they're doing. Well, you really shouldn't be down there at all. Amen. You know, it's like going to the nightclub and sitting there. I'm not drinking. Well, you're not drinking yet, but you will be. You hang around there long enough. And you're going to fall prey to people, and you're going to see things that you shouldn't see. And what happened is this young man, as he traveled down the wrong road, the Bible says that they stripped him outwardly. He was stripped of his testimony. Heading down the wrong road, folks, what it's going to do is it's going to strip you of your testimony. It's going to strip you of your influence, and it's going to strip you of your reputation. And that's what happened to this young man. I mean, think about it. The Bible says that they stripped him, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. He was laying there on the road naked, and his testimony was messed up. You know, folks, as you head down the wrong road, and the road that's leading you away from God, even though the thing that you're doing doesn't seem to be that bad, or maybe even seem harmless, anything that you put before God is sin. It doesn't matter if it's grandma. Anything that you put before God is sin. And we need to make sure that everything in our lives, in the direction that we're going, that it is leading us to God and not away from God. That's a good indication to know that you're heading down the wrong road. It is where it's leading to you. And inwardly, the Bible says that he was wounded, and he was not only stripped of his testimony, his influence, and his reputation. He was also wounded and stripped of his joy and his peace with God and his drive for service. You say, well, how could it be stripped from his drive from service? Well, you can tell that by the direction he was going. You know, we're either serving God or running from God. What we need to do in our Christian lives, folks, is we need to start getting rid of the excuses that we use many times in our life to do wrong. You know, if I want to do something bad enough, doesn't matter what it is, even if it's wrong, and most of the time when I've got to come up with good excuses to do it and think about it, it's something wrong. And, you know, if I think about it long enough, you know what will happen? The devil will give me an excuse to do that. And so this young man, he was stripped of his joy. He was stripped of his peace of God. He was stripped of his drive for service. You know, on that road that he was on, there were thieves on that road. And I know this group because I hung around them. You know, when we head down the wrong road, there's thieves on the road. And those thieves, they want to steal from you. And you know, these thieves that we're going to talk about here this morning, when we're heading down the wrong road, the first one we're going to talk about is Mr. Pride. You know, when we're heading down the wrong direction, we have a problem with pride. We have a problem with being able to admit and to humble ourselves. And what happens is Mr. Pride, he lurks on the wrong road and to strip you, to take away from you, not give to you. And you know what's really hard to do is to humble ourselves. You know, one of the hardest things I have that ever comes in my life to do is when I've been caught doing wrong or I've wronged somebody. You know what's hard to do? Humble myself and say, I'm sorry. You know what happens? Mr. Pride gets in. And I begin to look at my side and I begin to say, now wait a minute, I'm justified in this. You know, I'm sure this young man, as he was, this certain man that was traveling down this wrong road, I'm sure as he was going down the road, he allowed his pride to justify what he was doing. I knew a man one time, and I think I probably used this illustration before. He got himself a motorcycle, and he served as a deacon in a church. And he come up with this wonderful ministry that could only be done on Sunday. And that was to go to the truck stop and to minister to the other bikers. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, he had gotten away from the Lord. And he didn't want to go to church, and he was looking for a reason to get out of going to church. And you know what? You know what the devil provided for him? Hey, you can go down there and you can witness to the bikers. Well, you know, it wasn't long, and he wasn't only riding a bike and going down there on Sunday, dressed in normal clothes. You know, he had to get him a leather jacket and a hanky to tie around his head and put on his boots. And then eventually, I'm not quite fitting in with these guys yet. I'm not quite where I need to be. So maybe I'll get me a Christian tattoo. And again, further along, and what happened is he quit using going down there to minister to these fellows as an excuse, and he just drank and went right on along with them. You see, the thing about it is he was on the wrong road, and Mr. Pride stepped in. And when he realized he was on the wrong road and he was in trouble, instead of humbling himself before the Lord, what he did is he decided that, I had justifiable reason for what I did. You know, when we have problems one with another, and sometimes we offend a brother or in Christ, or we get offended, you know what happens? Mr. Pride steps in. And because we're heading down a wrong road, and because we're not willing to turn that over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not willing to make that thing right, Mr. Pride steps in, and we get ourselves in trouble. And as we get ourselves in trouble, and we won't humble ourselves, you know, then comes along Mr. Tongue. And Mr. Tongue, he wants to make sure that he has enough people on his side. I mean, come on, how many times have you done this? You know, there's the his side, her side, and the truth. And again, whenever we get involved in something, what we do is we tell our side. You know, and we kind of not really lie, but what we do is we kind of twist the details so that it slants our way. You know what happens? We're heading down the wrong road. And Mr. Tongue gets in there, the tongue of criticism and the tongue of fault finding is waiting. You know, there's nothing good on the wrong road. There's nothing good when we're traveling down that highway that we as believers know that we should not be traveling down. And you say, well, what highway is that? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the highway that God's talking to you about right now. That road that you shouldn't be on, that road that you need to get off of, because what happens is Mr. Tongue gets in there and criticism and fault finding and just bad. Then the next thing that we see, the next thief that we see on the wrong road, is we see Mr. Bad Literature is waiting to strip and to wound you. You know, as you continue down the road, and I say down the road, it don't get better. It just gets worse. You know, and Mr. Bad Literature and gets in there. We start reading things that we shouldn't be reading. You start looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. And again, it's those things that's waiting for you. Mr. Worldliness will strip you of your worship. You cannot worship God and serve the world. The Bible says that you're either going to love him or love the world. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, you can't be divided amongst the world and living a worldly life and serving God. You know, some people say, well, you know, what's wrong with contemporary music? Just that. It's mixing the world in with God. trying to make something that's not spiritual spiritual by throwing some God in there here and there and songs with no meaning and its worldliness. And folks, beware. It will strip you. It will take from you. It's not leading you to God. It's leading you away from God. And the devil's smart. He's deceptive. And so you can't worship. With worldliness, you can't worship God and you can't worship the world at the same time. The Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin or worldliness will keep you from God. You know, when we dive in and we jump in with the things of the world, you know what happens to us? We start departing from God. You know, it kind of works like this. What we do is we look over at the world and we think, well, you know, kind of like that Pharisee, you know, I'm not as bad as them. You know, I'm really not as bad as them. But you see, the problem is the world is on that downward road as well. And they keep getting worse. And what we keep doing is we keep looking at them and we keep thinking, well, I'm not quite as bad as them. Well, you know, look at him. I'm really not quite as bad as him. And we keep comparing ourselves with the world. You know what happens as we keep comparing ourselves to the world? We start getting closer and closer, and we start getting more comfortable and more comfortable in the world and the things of the world. And what winds up happening is the world takes over. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be looking to God. And we need to be examining our lives with God and saying, okay, God, how close am I to you? And we need to keep going that direction. Worldliness will strip you. God's word, folks, will keep you from sin, or worldliness will keep you from God's word. You know why you don't have time for God's word? You spend too much time in the world. You know, and I'll tell you what, I'll be the first to confess. You know, sometimes I got to be careful about the TV. You say, well, is the TV worldliness? Well, it depends on what you're watching. First of all, let's go there. It depends on what you're watching. If you're watching movies that invites sex, sin, drinking, smoking, cussing, and carrying on in your living room, now that's called worldliness. And you know what it's going to do? It's not going to bring you any closer to God. It's going to bring you closer. It's going to bring you closer to the world. It's going to bring you closer to the devil. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I'm spiritual and I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You really can't. And you need to be careful. You know, and again, like I said, you know, let's get back to that television. I've got one in my house. You know, but you know what I've got to, you know what I've got to watch for? I've got to watch out for the harmless news. I drive my wife crazy because I'll watch the news. And I like to turn on the Fox cable news. And again, I don't have cable, but I have the Fox cable network that runs through my internet. And you know, they'll have Hannity and Tucker Carlson and all them guys. You know, I forget all the names of all of them. You see, I can't even remember the newscasters either. But in their programs, but they'll come on one right after another, and you know what they're doing? Most of the time, they're repeating what the last guy said. But you know what I'll find myself doing? I'll turn it on to get in touch, find out what's going on with the world, and I'll find myself wasting too much time where I shouldn't be. Where I shouldn't be. Now, I'm not saying news is bad and news is wrong and shouldn't watch the news. But we ought to be careful. We ought to be careful that we don't spend more time in the television than we do on things of God. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Sit there and read my Bible all night? Well, it'd be a good thing. But okay, I'll be honest. I don't sit there and read my Bible all night. But, you know, what we need to do is we need to make sure that things that we're doing, and that we're spending time in the Word of God, and that we're spending time praying, and we're careful of what we're watching, and we're careful about what we're doing, and again, spending time more time with God, praise the Lord, in the evenings you could go out and pass out some Gospels of John and Romans for an hour, and sacrifice an hour of television, and just kind of throwing that in there a little bit. Works. You must be filled with the Spirit to work. It must be secure from the world, or separated from the world, to be filled with the Spirit. Now, what am I talking about there? What are we talking about here? You must be filled with the Spirit to work. You know what you put in is what you're going to get out. You put in garbage, that's exactly what you're going to get out. You're going to get out garbage. And that's what we're talking about here. The more time that we spend with God, the more time that we spend being Spirit-filled, and what I'm talking about that, and again, what we understand, I'm not talking about we get more of the Holy Spirit, because when we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit. What we're talking about here is being Spirit-filled, is how much of the Spirit has of you. And so when we yield more of the Spirit to His work, we'll be more separated from the world. Another thief that's on the wrong road is Mr. Lust. He's on the wrong road. Christians lust for pleasure, money, men to women, and women to men. You know, if we're not careful, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3 tells us, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceivers, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, in envy, hateful, hating one another. You know, if we're not careful, we get the lusting after pleasure. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, the world looks like they're having fun. You know, it looks like what they're experiencing is pleasant and pleasurable. And I'll tell you what, it is for about 2.5 minutes. You know, and I'll use drinking as an example. Hey, man, it's great. Knock down a few and get that buzz. Well, and even feeling a little bit giddy and happy. Knock down a few more. But you know where it winds up? Hugging Mr. Porcelain and puking your guts out, and hoping nobody slams the door or says anything the next morning too loud because your head hurts. And being ashamed of what you did the night before because of what you drank. You see, pleasure, what happens is we get to looking at pleasures, and we let the devil convince us to think that we're missing out on something. You know, we're not having as much fun as the world is having. So let's join in their pleasure and what they're doing because it looks like fun. You know, I want to encourage you, flee from the world. Serving God is fun. I don't regret serving God. I don't regret spending time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Christians, I'm going to hit you with another one, another big one here, Mr. Lust. Money. You know, I really believe in our churches across America, this is probably the biggest number one sin of good, God-fearing Christians. It's the lust of money. Because what we do is we make it all about money. We want to make sure that we have big house and plenty of cars, and we want to make sure that our children don't do without, and our children have everything that they possibly could want materialistic. But you know what winds up happening? As we head down that road, it takes us further and further and further and further away from the Lord. It takes us further away from the things of God. And then we turn around and we look at our children and we wonder, well, how in the world did our children get in the condition they're in? Well, because mom and dad, what they've seen from you is it's all about money. It's all about having things, not about serving God. And not about putting God first. And we need to really work on that. And again, when we're heading down the wrong road, you know, you say, well, how do I know that the road I'm heading down financially is the wrong road? Well, where is that road leading you to? Is it leading you away from the house of God or to the house of God? Is it leading you to having a better relationship with God or away from God? Is it leading you to sending more missionaries around the world, or building your palace and your portfolio a little bit larger? And then, Mr. Lust, men to women and women to men. You know, men, we need to be careful. Because if we're heading down this road and we take on and we begin to let things happen, you say, well, that ain't going to happen to me. That just ain't going to happen. You foolish man. Guard your eyes. Guard your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how many preachers across America fall into sin? A bunch. You know why? Because they get away from this here. They head down a road that seems innocent in the beginning, but winds up being a problem. So be careful. And again, the last part of this, and I won't spend much time here, but what we see on this road is, and we see this young man that the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to. And when the Lord explains to him what he needs to do to inherit eternal life, he needs to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needs to love his neighbor as himself. He comes back with a question in verse number 36. And the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ asked him here, which now of the three thinkest thou was neighbor unto that unto him that fell among the thieves? You know, the question that this man came up with to the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You know, when we're heading down the wrong road, we put up foolish questions like, who is our neighbor? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Who is our neighbor? Brothers and sisters in Christ, our neighbors are each other. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be looking out and watching out for one another. We need to keep each other in check. You know, I hope and pray that there's some godly men or a godly lady in this church that if you see me beginning to stray, you come up and say, hey, preacher, I've noticed something lately. You say, well, wouldn't that be wrong? No, it would not be. You know, we can approach anybody about anything if we do it the right way. First of all, we need to check and make sure that our own life is clear. And then we approach that person. The Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself. So what you do is you kind of look at it and you think, well, if I was in his shoes, how would I want someone to approach me? Would I want them coming with a vindictive spirit? Would I want them coming with a proud spirit and giving me a piece of their mind? Well, no. But you know, I would love to believe that I would be one who someone came to me with a humble spirit, with love in their heart, and said, hey, preacher, I've noticed lately. I love you. And I notice, and I just wanted to kind of tell you, and I'm praying for you. I'd want to hope that what my response would be is, well, you see, as we look at this story here, there was a priest. And as I got to looking at some things here, and I got to reading over this story in verse number 31, the Bible says, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You know, it dawned on me why the priest went to the other side. Priest was heading down the same road that the certain man was heading down. He's going the wrong direction. He wasn't where he should have been. He wasn't doing what he needed to be doing. And when he ran across a need, knowing what he should have done, because he wasn't where he should have been, he passed by on the other side because he was down there. Then we have the Levite in verse number 32. And it says, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Why did the Levite pass by on the other side? Well, because he was in the wrong place, doing the wrong things, and he was just as guilty as the man laying there. And so when he saw the need, he didn't get involved. And we see the Samaritan as a type of Christ. You know, the Samaritan, the Bible says, traveled to. The Samaritan, and I'm going to stop here. The Samaritan, he traveled to the place where this man was. And you see, again, the Bible says he traveled to. He didn't travel down, he traveled to. The difference between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan, the Samaritan traveled with a purpose. And the purpose was to further his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that relationship entailed? The Samaritan going to a certain man that fell among thieves to show mercy, to show kindness, and to do whatever it took to bring back that man to the place that he needed to be. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be like the Samaritan. We need to make sure that we travel to, not down. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, we don't have to go get drunk and sit in the bar and entertain in that way. We don't have to be like the world. We don't have to listen to the world's music. We don't have to act like the world in order to minister to the world. Because you want me to tell you something? The world isn't looking for that. When they're looking for help, they're not looking for somebody who's just like them. They're looking for someone who'll be merciful, who'll be compassionate, who will have the oil and the wine and the bandages, and as the Bible says, the beast that they can ride on to get to the place where they can be taken care of. You see, the Bible says that the Samaritan traveled to, not down. You see, the Samaritan wasn't traveling the wrong way. The Samaritan was traveling with purpose. The priest, the Levite, and the certain man were traveling down, and they were on the wrong road. Let me ask you this morning here, what road are you on? You say, well, I don't know what road I'm on. Which direction are you heading? Are you heading to God? Or are you heading away from God? Is your relationship getting better with God? Or is it getting more distant? And when you answer those questions, you'll find out that where you are and what you're doing is where you shouldn't be. Or maybe you're where you should be. You know, we need more people like the Samaritan that'll travel too. But before we can travel too, we need to make sure we're not traveling down. Are you on the wrong road today?